Welcome, lucky listeners. Grab yourselves a hot cup of... Tuck yourself down deep into the covers and make sure the lights are on. It's time for Read Me a Nightmare.
Hi, welcome to the very first episode of Read Me a Nightmare. This story is called A Bug in Amber Alert, and it was written by Angelique Fons. It's narrated by Natalie Brown. This flash fiction piece first appeared in Scary Snippets Halloween Edition. Stay tuned after the reading for an interview with Natalie Brown.
Halloween. When else can you go from door to door and peer in at the lives of your neighbors? It is the only day of the year I don't get odd stares. Parents shielding the eyes of their children from my face. Babies crying if they do get a close look. It's not that I'm ugly, per se. If you can see beneath the warts and unruly hair that insists on growing out of them, I have quite a pleasant visage. Green eyes, thick dark hair. But I am plagued by those damn warts. And I can't pluck the hair any faster than it grows. Ow! My face was unmarred till puberty, so my daughter is still beautiful. Her inherited proclivities won't be evident for a few more years. I cast a spell of spider infestation on the neighbors who called child services.
Hello, 911. Something not quite right with the family next door.
What ordinary human understands that dancing naked under the moon into the wee hours of the night is healthy for the young? I had no more luck explaining the late dancing to the government child welfare officials than I did the contents of our fridge. Frog nuggets, thistleweed salad, and newt soup are delicacies. They took my daughter away and placed her in a foster home, denying me visitation or even allowing me to know her whereabouts. Perhaps I shouldn't have flung vases, coats, and plates at them with my poltergeist incantation. My local coven tried to locate her through lost and found rituals, but no luck. It's been almost a month since they took her, so I've resorted to old-school pounding of the pavement. Peeking in windows and flying above backyards has proven fruitless, but I have high hopes for tonight. With a good bit of fortune, Child Protective Services haven't placed her too far out of my community. Heading out the door, I join the throngs of little monsters, superheroes, witches, and cartoon characters. The fall leaves smell like hope, and the wind carries the cool of possibility. Lady! Great costume! A dad with three Ninja Turtles in tow hollers. I smile and tip my pointed hat. At each house, I walk up the sidewalk behind excited, chattering groups of children and peer in as the doors open. Jack-o'-lanterns leer at me in cahoots on porch tables. So far, I haven't seen her ethereal face dishing out candy behind a door or gotten a glimpse of the jacket she was wearing when she was taken. Perhaps she'll be out trick-or-treating herself? With new school friends dressed in a billowy pink princess dress, or have the bones of a human skull painted on her face? I can't imagine she is happy being forced to eat the uninspired menu of the non-magical and attending regular school. Spelling instead of spells, math instead of magic. When she comes into full power, her host family will be in trouble. But I have hours yet. The night is young.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this reading of A Bug in Amber Alert, originally published in the Scary Snippets Halloween Microfiction Anthology by Nocturnal Sirens Publishing. Now, the brainchild behind this publishing house is Natalie Brown, and she's also the voice who read the story to you. I sat down with her, and we get into the weeds about what she's doing in the publishing industry, why she's pivoted into podcasting, and we even talk about who are the people in horror today. If you have any questions or want to learn about anything further that you hear, please consult the show notes at www.fons.ca. And now, here's the interview.
So are you still doing any anthologies, or is that sort of, are you now moving on to other pastures?
Honestly, I'm moving on. As far as publishing, I think what I'm going to do is spend this year rebranding everything that we do have out, because I want what we do have out to do a little bit better before I start. I want to give what we've already created together more of my attention. I don't want to just leave it behind. And I feel like that's exactly what would happen if we took on anything. So me and Melody Grace decided to just take 2021 to just kind of get back to basics, get back to the roots of everything, remarket the books, go through them all, see, you know, basically revamp everything that we've already made. And also working on a few things ourselves as well, our personal stories and stuff like that, because that can be hard to, when you have so many things going on, it can be hard to have the time to get back to what started it all to begin with.
Well, I know for both you and I, we started all this because we loved writing and we loved horror. And I find once you create something and you go down the deep dark hole of marketing, you can sort of lose the sense of why you began it all. So I totally understand where you're coming from. How many anthologies did you actually end up producing?
Scary Snippet Series actually has 6. Wow. And then we did an insect horror series, which is just on ebook. There was 2 in there. I think all in all, between 2019 and right now, Nocturnal Sirens came out with, I want to say, 15 to 18 anthologies, which sounds amazing. Yes, it was definitely a lot of work. I think, however, if we had it to do over again, we would have started smaller. A big mistake that a lot of new publishers make right out the gate is they, not necessarily quality over quantity, but when you're making so many, it's hard to give each one, it's easy for them to kind of meld into each other. And I think that each anthology, each author deserves more attention than they could be given when you have this coming out, this coming out, this coming out, this coming out, you know, releasing calls every week, you know, which is amazing. It is a great opportunity for authors. But just for myself as a publisher, I think it was just, I would have done things a little bit differently.
I think the only way to learn is to do, though. Honestly. So, I mean, now you've learned this, you can proceed. And like you said, it's not like you don't have a chance to go back and fix it. That's what's so wonderful in this indie world, is you can re-release everything and change everything you wish you'd done differently the first time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have learned so much. Like, I'm always like out there wanting to learn, evolving, growing. So I'm very excited for you, by the way, because you have on the 31 Days of Horror for CreepyPod. That is amazing.
I am completely.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then I had a great interview with John. I mean, I thought I loved talking to him.
Yeah, John is absolutely amazing. And he's never... I asked him, I said, are you willing to give this interview? And he's like, yeah, I would love to be interviewed, but nobody ever asks me. And I was like,
yeah, he's done a great job. I sort of love his whole premise. And I'm excited about having my little zombie story be on his 31 Days of Horror. He's an interesting guy. And it's funny, he's had success with his podcast. And I think he's done relatively little marketing. Or am I wrong in that?
Honestly, that is something that is not in my wheelhouse. I do know, I think as far as marketing for the show, you are 100% correct. I don't think that it has, I think the way that John is the most successful is he doesn't necessarily boost himself, but he helps other people through the podcast. Like he has ads and people can find us through that way. And then, of course, you know, all the authors that are new to us, that come to us, their friends and family, listen to their story, listen to what else is on there. Whatever he is doing is amazing. But as far as like commercialism or marketing or ads, you're correct. I haven't seen too much of that because John wants to do a good job, but he's not money hungry. You know, like some of the other ones are, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, money makes the world go round, but John's very, very humble. I don't think he will ever know how amazingly successful he is. I try to tell him all the time, But, you know, he's so shy.
Yep. So here's a question for you. You're a writer and a publisher, and now I've seen your career veering towards podcasting and voice work. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, tell me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the voice work is, it's all you. Like, this is, you're the only one you get me. You get my mouth and my words and nobody else does. But CreepyPod, I started out finding submissions because publishing, that's basically what I was doing anyway. So I was like, okay, I might as well help out. And my husband was a huge fan of the show. And I wanted to impress my husband, have him think I was a little bit prettier. So I applied and I got that job. And that was 2 years ago. But recently, I got hired on as project management for Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. Not the entire network, just the show. Because the network has multiple shows. There's Mick Dark, Louis Bermudez, Otis Dreyery, Jason Hill. Mine is the once a week Chilling Tales for Dark Nights that comes out. I send blinds off.
These are podcasts.
Yes. Yeah. They're available on YouTube and any podcasting network on Apple or Android.
And what's the name of the blanket company?
Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. So that's headed by Groshik. Yes.
And then there's shows underneath that. Oh, interesting. I'll have to research them. I hadn't heard of them. It's a whole new world out there. It's like the Wild West of audio production out there right now.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. We've had Daniel Radcliffe narrate a couple of times. We just had Zach. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if. Yeah, Zach Galligan. I think it's Galligan from Gremlins. He played Billy and he was in Waxworks. He did one of he narrated one of T.J. Lee's stories last year. We got some pretty cool things coming up. So it's nice to be a part of it. I don't know how I got here. I went from like just being a fangirl and then I put hard work in. And I mean, like I told you earlier, I'm always wanting to evolve, understand, and that's every aspect of it. Sound production. And I'm not always going to get everything right, but I like to try to learn everything because it helps me out all in a circle, you know? Audio narration, if I know I'm writing a story for audio narration, listening to it, scheduling it, working with voice actors can help me when I'm writing my own story and so on and so forth. And I try to take examples and of course all the submissions that I receive because Craig Groshik has me check the Creepypasta stories. That's the name of the website, submissions that come in. So, and not to mention that my most favorite thing about all of this is exactly like what we have here. I've met so many amazing people that I never would have otherwise known, you know, because I live in like a little hick town in Florida. Like, I don't go anywhere. I don't talk to anybody. So, like, this is really, really nice. And it's so rewarding in every single way imaginable.
Oh, that's very neat. I've got to tell you, one thing I found is the people in the horror industry have got to be the friendliest, most welcoming, most open, which is hilariously ironic considering the material they produce.
What a thought. Like, especially like the men that I have all met, like John and Craig and all of like the writers, like all of them have been so just like nice family men. They love, if applicable, of course, they love their wives. They play with their kids. They get down on the floor and make little choo-choo noises with their kids. Really, really cute. It's so heartwarming to see because I've worked in some other genres that shall rename nameless. And oh my gosh, that it's like a bloodthirsty out there, like some of them that I've experienced. And it's, who would have thought that horror would have been the one that's wholesome? Like, I'm sure that there's others.
It's almost like all the darkness in these people, including myself and maybe you, it comes out on the page and all that's left is this nice, happy person because they're purging all the darkness.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And it makes 100% sense. Like 100% sense. That's spot on. You hit the nail on the head. Because it's true. I mean, like and we all look out for each other. And I mean, we're not like mean or like nasty. If somebody has a problem with somebody or if somebody's kid is sick, like people have come together. Like there have been so many situations where one of our friends in the writing community's dog needed surgery on his hip, and we all banded together over the last month to like help get that fundraising together. And we're always just here for each other. And it's really, really nice. You didn't ask me this, but I'm going to say it because I've never told anybody. I've never told anybody. This is exclusive. The one thing I am not the best at is friend. Like I can, submissions is fine. That's a totally different mindset. That's a totally different Natalie mode. But when a friend comes to me, and it happens quite a bit, I don't mind. Like, do it. That's fine, guys. But I get so nervous when a friend sends me one of their stories and they're like, hey, I posted this. Can you read it? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know where that came from, but it's been burning inside me. I'm like, just nobody's ever asked me what, not irks me, but like what makes me like about the job. And that's one of the things. You can all send me your stories. That's fine. It's just because I love you so much.
My strictest editors, I do have a girlfriend, Kim Fair. Thank you, Kim. Shout out. And my mom. Thank you, mom. They're both ruthless in their editing of my stories. But I appreciate it so much because then you make it better. And I genuinely want to put out a good product. So
absolutely.
So, I mean, if your friends can't be honest with you, then who will? There's another problem. Getting feedback when you put your stories out. There's nothing more disheartening and discouraging than putting your work out there and just getting form rejection after form rejection after form rejection. And you can't get better because you don't know why they rejected it.
A publishing company that's really, really good with that is Erie River Publishing. They're an independent publishing company that's also female based. Michelle River runs that. They are impeccable about their feedback. I used to be when I was doing it all the time, but it can be hard, and that's no excuse. But when you get 50 to 100 stories and you have to, like, you can only accept so many of them, it can be difficult. But Erie River, like I said, shout out Michelle. They're amazing at that.
You know what they are? And I interviewed her as well for Women in Horror Month.
Yeah.
And I've also got her featured and I've used her rejection letters in my books. So, because I'm a big fan and she's Canadian. So shout out to the, you know,
she's
up north here with me.
Well, so you know, we talk all the time.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear. Well, this was amazing, Natalie. We'll have to revisit this. And so wait, let me just clarify. So a Bug and Amber Alert, that's your very first bit of voice work?
No, I have done slight in the past, but this year it's the only, I gave it up in early 2019 and I hadn't done it. I hadn't picked it up again until a Bug and Amber Alert.
Well, I sure hope this is you did a great job and I sure hope this is a launching pad and there'll be so much more voice work flooding your way because I think you did an amazing job and I really loved connecting with you today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been awesome. I hope you have an amazing day.
Well, that wraps up our very first episode of Read Me a Nightmare. If you enjoyed this, I intend to start releasing these every 2 weeks. So keep an eye on your podcast feed. And if you have any comments or if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.fonz.ca. You'll see a page all about the podcast and there'll be show notes and you can learn more about it. Thank you for joining us.